Did I say 26? We're 24. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. I even turned to the wrong spot. 24. So it's a historical record today of man Isaac seeking after a wife, or a man Abraham seeking after a wife for his 40-year-old son, Isaac. It's also beautiful Old Testament imagery of the Father sending out his Holy Spirit in search of a bride for Christ. So let's read just a few verses. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh. And I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And then we'll go on from there. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks for your Holy Spirit always drawing us, wooing us toward a deeper place with Jesus, Lord. May we yield to whatever your Spirit would say to us today, Lord. We want to be more like you, Lord. So accomplish that work in our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Abraham's about 140 years old at this point in time. His life, according to verse 1, has been rich and full. And he's desiring to find a wife for his son. Remember, they did arranged marriages in that time. And then the oldest servant we see there, he talks to there in the beginning of 2. He'd have been the most trusted servant in the whole household. And if you walk your way through there, as you see, the servant's made to swear by the Lord to go back to Mesopotamia. We know it as southeast Turkey, a journey of about 500 miles to get a bride for Isaac. And then the solemn oath, you know, the putting the hand under the thigh sounds a little wonky. It'd be kind of like us just shaking hands. It signified, the oath did, that whatever they agreed upon was really important, extremely important. So we can't miss that this is a solemn vow that the servant is making with Abraham. You know, Abraham's in an interesting spot here because God has given him the land of Canaan, but no one knows that yet. So in the eyes of the world, they see Abraham as a great tribal chief in the area. And typically, a person in that position would marry into a comparable tribe or even a greater tribe because that would then establish a helpful alliance to achieve security, power, wealth. But Abraham isn't interested in those things. His primary interest is that his son's wife be a godly girl, that she would be a worshiper of Jehovah. And it's important as we read through here that Abraham's issue isn't racial by any stretch of the imagination. It's spiritual. The Canaanite people were idolaters. They worshiped pagan gods like Baal, child sacrifice, things like that. So for Isaac to marry a woman from the pagan world would cause her to have a terrible influence in his life. And I think it's important for us, the young people here, to keep that in mind. Who you choose to marry is the second most important decision you'll ever make in life after your decision to follow Christ. And the Lord and your parents and many other people have worked hard to teach you the things of God. And then you have the responsibility then to marry a godly person who will help you then fulfill God's call on your life. Not be a hindrance to the call, but help you to fulfill it. 2 Corinthians 6, Apostle Paul writes, prohibiting a Christian from being unequally yoked to an unbeliever. It's direct disobedience to the word of God, for the child of God to marry someone who's not a Christian. I don't care how pretty she is, guys. We're looking at the inward beauty, and we got to have that set now before you get like swooned by that. It's like, and I don't care how buff he is, girls, it doesn't matter. If his heart isn't for God, then the Lord would say, stay clear. And he means it when he says it. Listen, it's difficult enough for two on-fire Christians to survive in a marriage because every voice in the media, every voice on TV, every voice in music and in movies tells us, just go ahead, throw in the towel when things get hard. Hey, you only live once. Live for yourself. We hear that all the time. Throw the shackles off marriage. You deserve to be free. You deserve it. The world is full with pagan Canaanites. And I find it interesting as I read through here that here's Isaac at 40 years old, but he's still allowing his dad to have a huge influence in his life, not because he's being forced to, but because he's observed enough of Abraham's walk with God that he admires his dad. He recognizes his dad as wise. He has a relationship with the Jehovah God, Isaac does. And he's going to walk in obedience to his dad at 40. So Abraham has a sense how important this decision is. So he sends his most trusted servant back home to find a godly wife for Isaac. And when the servant hears what Abraham is requiring, he immediately sees a weakness to it. We see it in verse 5. And the servant then says to him, Abraham, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me back to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? How am I going to convince a girl who lives in a strange land to leave her family, come 500 miles back with me to marry someone she's never met? I doubt that'll work unless I take Isaac with me. And Abraham responds, though, in verse 6. Beware that you don't take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I'll give this land. He will send his angel before you. And you shall take a wife for my son from there. So he's saying, under no circumstance are you to take Isaac away from the land that God has promised to us. But he speaks faith into the servant's heart. Do you see it there? He says, dude, you will be successful because the Lord is going before you. The Lord's going to pick out the right person for my son. Why? Because the Lord has promised that through their seed, the Messiah will be born. Abraham's walking in great faith here, and he's speaking faith into this girl's heart, or into this servant's heart about this girl. But there is a loophole, verse 8. And if the woman's not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. So in essence, if the girl doesn't want to come, then you're released from this oath. And they shook hands to agree and seal the deal that way. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, sign of great wealth. For all of his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the land of Nahor. Keep going, 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when the women would go out to draw water. 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water. And the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please, let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I'll give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I'll know that you have shown kindness to my master. So this servant shows great faith by taking 10 camels full of stuff. It's the dowry. It's what he's going to use to bless the family. I'm looking forward to that as a dad of daughters, the dowry. Abraham came from this area north, and most believe that the town of Nahor there is in the same vicinity. So if the servant then and the caravan would travel 500 miles. A camel averages about 25 miles a day. So the journey just to get there would take about a month. Okay, this is a big deal. Now, 11 then, as I read on down, what would happen is the girls then would come out in the cool of the evening and draw water from the well and carry it back to their house on their four-wheeler. No four-wheelers, no motors, no pumps, no spigots, no hoses. Everything had to be done by hand, manual labor. So going to the well to draw water in the cool evening, that's something women did every day of their life. Girls, you never know what might happen when your mom says, "Will you run down to the store and get a gallon of milk?" You know, you never know who might be there. But as soon as the servant gets to the place, he begins to pray. Did you see the prayer then, starting in verse 12? He doesn't want to pick out this girl, so he asks God for a sign. It's really a remarkable prayer. "Lord, I'm going to stand right here and ask the girl to come up if I can have a drink of water. If she doesn't say, get one for yourself, you lazy bum," you know. But she says, "Sure. Drink up, and I'll water your camels too. I'd love to pull up hundreds of gallons of water from the ground by hand for you, complete stranger. If that happens, then I'll know that she's the one." That's what it says. And she'd have to run back and forth to the well multiple times to do this. "Isaiah, I got a great idea for you when you go to Ball State. Study camels. You know, you can be a camelologist, you know." I don't even know if there is such a thing. I doubt it's going to be a fun major for you. But do you realize that thirsty camel can drink 40 gallons of water at one time? And Abraham's servant had 10 camels. That means Rebecca is needing to draw 400 gallons of water by hand, by herself. And she would have come to the well with all the other girls from the town. So every time she gets to the well, she has to wait her turn. And she did all this without being asked. It's really nothing short of a miracle of God. And in the prayer, did you notice the girl didn't say, or the servant doesn't say, "May she be really beautiful." It's got no physical things about her at all. His request is that she would be a woman of character. That she would be the woman that God has chosen. So the ordinary thing for this girl to have done would have been to say yes to the request, "Give me a drink of water." But the servant is asking for the girl to do something extraordinary. Notice in 15, "And it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder." So this is Abraham's great niece. She comes to the well. And did you see? Before he even finished speaking, God answered the prayer. It reminds me, Isaiah 65:24, it speaks to this kind of gracious answer to prayer. "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear." It's a great promise from God. The servant, he had to be blown away as we go through this. He hasn't even finished his prayer yet. And here comes Rebekah. Verse 16, "Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin," which speaks of her moral character, okay? "No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher.' So she said, 'Drink, my lord.' And she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I'll draw water for your camels also until they finished drinking.' So she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man," verse 21, "wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." So as Rebekah begins the hard work of watering all these stinky camels, the servant doesn't stop her and say, "Well, after three, that's enough. You've proved it. After seven, that's enough." No, he wants her to see if she will finish everything she said she would do. Not enough just to say, "I'll do it." Will she actually do it? Will she take however many hours it takes for her to do it? He's watching to see. So as he's watching this girl run, did you notice there? Back and forth to water his camels. He says, Lord, is this you? You ever do anything like that? You pray, Lord, may an eagle swoop down, pick up this Coke can and carry it and then drop it on the cat who shrieks, jumps up, lands on the dog. The dog runs around like a crazy chicken for a while. And then when that happens, you stop and say, Lord, was that you? You know, that's crazy. He just saw it all in front of him. And yet he says there in verse 21, the man wondering, he says, have you done this, Lord? Are you the one behind all this? And surely it was, 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for a wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? I guess this nose ring stuff goes on for a while. Who knew? You know, that our kids really didn't come up with something new. Can you imagine, girls? You're just doing your thing, and all of a sudden some dude walks up and puts a big old ring in your nose. I guess it's an honor. Notice there's an entourage with this guy, you know, because when you're traveling this kind of wealth, you need to have protection. And they traveled a long way for their look, so they're looking for someone, some place to stay. So they ask, and then in 24, she says, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Machil's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. So he realizes this is Abraham's brother's granddaughter. That's who he is. That's who this girl is. That's good news for him. And she's not only beautiful, she's not only pure, she's not only hardworking, but she's hospitable. She says, yeah, come on, let's do this. 26, and the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. So thankful. When God answered his prayer, he was full of thanks. You know, that's a good thing for us. God answers our prayers. Many of us have been praying for that crazy, silly Roe v. Wade thing to be gone. And it's beginning to happen. Fight's not over yet. We got to keep praying. And we want to be filled with thankfulness when the Lord honors our prayers in that way. Now, here's a really important thing I want you to see. Let me read it. 20. Used of God, don't just sit and wait passively. I believe the Lord expects us to step out in faith. And as we step out in faith, he leads us. I think we can make a huge mistake by waiting, lying back and saying, Lord, lead my life. I'm just going to sit here, Lord, until you give me clear direction on what I'm supposed to do. But if you have that attitude, chances are you'll never be led. Stand up. Start walking. And then the Lord will lead you where you should go. Here's my example. So I'm not married yet. And I'm living in my apartment on the west side of town, still working for General Electric. And I was praying, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Toby, I want you to teach my word. Now, I got to tell you, I had no idea what that meant. I mean, I know what teaching the word is, but I don't know what that means practically. But I remember vividly going to church the next week and going in and saying, you know what? You need help in the children's ministry? And I started teaching junior high kids. Not overly fond of junior high kids. They kind of drive me crazy. But I started teaching in class because I was just trying to figure out what God wants me to do. And so I started doing that. Out of that, I started attending their youth group just because I thought, well, maybe I can be a blessing here. I like young people, and I got to be around a lot of young people their age, got to hang out with them. Over time, me just being faithful, not really knowing what I'm doing any step of the way, I ultimately, a long story, became the youth pastor there. Assistant pastor and youth pastor, and just become the youth pastor, all out of just hearing God say, Toby, I want you to teach my word. He opened these doors as I was going. That's my story. And out of that, I started teaching in a home group. Out of that, I started going to retirement homes and nursing homes and just teaching. Again, I was clueless what I was doing. You want to learn a place to teach? Go to a retirement home. It's a beautiful place to teach the Bible. They don't remember what you said next week. You can do the same sermon every week. You know, there was one lady, I went there 27 years. I went every week to this one place. And there was, you know, ebbs and flows in the amount of people that would come. There was one lady, just a beautiful saint. When she would come in, she was so excited to be there every week. And she would sit down toward the back and she would go to sleep in about 3 minutes. You know, maybe four. You know, 3 minutes. And then I would go through the study and we would get done. And then she'd wake up, have a big smile on her face. And I would tend to stand by the door as they would leave just to say hey to them. She'd come up and say, Toby, that was the best sermon I ever heard in my life. Like, okay. But just teaching, just looking for opportunities. So what I'm trying to encourage you in is found right there in 27. As for me, the servant is saying, being on the way, the Lord led me. I think too many people take a passive attitude toward the leading of the will of God. Lord, I'm available, and I'm going to sit right here until you open the door. Lord, I'm needing a job. Listen, have you filled out one application? Have you made one phone call? No, when the job is right, the phone will just ring. Well, really? It's crazy. We don't have that attitude toward other things, like eating. We don't sit on the couch and wait on the Lord to supernaturally fill our fridge. And then he would just open the fridge door, put the bologna on the piece of bread with just a hint of ketchup, walk it into you while you're still on the couch with a Gatorade, and said, here you go. We don't have that attitude. And yet, related to being led by the will of God, we tend to be sit back and say, God, I'm just going to sit here because I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want to be outside your will, so it's just safe for me to sit here. No, just go. And a lot of people come up to me and say, Toby, I feel like sometimes I'd like to be involved in youth group. Okay, great. Just come. Just come. Can you be around those boys very much? And some of us is like, it's the greatest thing ever. And others say, no, it's not my thing. That's okay. You got other things. Go try the nursery. Go try someplace else. Go serve. That's the point I'm trying to make. And the servant had that attitude. Listen, if he'd have never left Beersheba, he'd have never met Rebecca. He'd have never had the will of God fulfilled in his life if he just stayed back. He stepped out into this. Lord, let me see what he says exactly. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I just went 500 miles and went to the exact spot where this girl was going to come. How many wells did he pass? But as he was going, the Lord led him to the exact spot. And how many girls came out of that town over every day? But that day, Rebecca was right there. The Lord led him as he was going. Grab a hold of that. It's a good word from the Lord for us today. Now, here we go in 28. So the young woman ran. She's still running. You know, I don't know how old she is. She's probably 14 or 15 years old. That's my best guess. So as she's running, she told her mother's household these things. Now, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. It came to pass when he saw the nose ring, the bracelets on his sister's wrist, when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man. And there he stood by the camels at the well. Notice the word when there at the beginning when we start talking about Laban. It's in verse 30. He's talking about Laban. When it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring. Laban sees the stuff and realizes, whoa, somebody's got money. And that's all we need to know about Laban. We're going to get to know him pretty well in the weeks ahead as we go through the rest of Genesis. But this gives us a glimpse of his heart there is what motivates him is the coin. 31, I think that's where I stopped. Is that where I stopped? And he said, come in. O blessed of the Lord, why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. And the man came to the house and loaded the camels, provided straw and feed for the camels, water to wash his feet, the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I'll not eat until I've told about my errand. And he was told to go ahead and speak on. What a faithful servant this guy is. No doubt this is quite a meal laid out in front of him. But he wasn't going to eat until he told them why he came. And then for the next number of verses, I'm just going to read straight through it because it just kind of talks about the story that we've already gone through. So he's going to explain to them how he got there. 34, he said, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and said to him, he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. 39. And I said to my master, perhaps the Lord will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family. If they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. 42, and this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when a virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I'll draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. 45, but before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the well, drew water, and I said to her, please, let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. 47, hang in there just a little bit more. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose, the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, then I may turn to the right or the left. Now imagine, Rebekah's listening to all this. She didn't know any of this, but she's sitting right there hearing all this. Can you imagine the wonder? Again, she goes out to the well not knowing any of this is in front of her. She's just faithful to do what she's supposed to do. It was her household chores. And yet, when she does all this, it's like preordained by God. She had to be blown away. The blessing on Abraham, the miraculous birth of Isaac, the journey to find a wife for his master's son, the sign that was proposed, how God confirmed his will. She must be amazed by it all. And then so then he asks at the end, 49, tell me what you think. Is this of God? Are you going to let me take the girl back or no? And they answered, Laban and Bethuel. Laban's son, Bethuel's dad, answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son, wife, as the Lord has spoken. So they recognize the existence of Jehovah God and recognize his hand in all this. So the result of that then, 52, it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself, to the earth. And the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, gave them to Rebekah, also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. And he ate, and he and the men who were with them ate and drank and stayed all night. And they arose in the morning and said, send me away to my master. So the dude wakes up the next day after this big celebration and says, why wait? Let's go. Typical guy. I don't want to wait around. Let's get on the road. So they say, let's just do this. And then from that, the brother and mom in 55 say, well, can't you leave her with us for a few more days? We'll probably never see her again. This is all so sudden. Can't you just stay here? It goes on 55. A few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, don't hinder me, since the Lord has prepared my way. Send me away so I may go to my master. So they decided, 57, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally. And so they call Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. So let's leave the decision up to her. And she said, let's not wait around. Let's get going. Again, it's a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit drawing a bride to Christ. She's willing to walk by faith here and give herself to a husband that she has never seen. So then they pray over her in verse 59. They send her away, Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed Rebekah, and there's the prayer, and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of tens of thousands. May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. So the prayer is simply that she would be fruitful and her descendants would influence the world for good. And now then begins this month-long journey back to the land of Canaan. No doubt on that journey then, the servant's going to spend a lot of time speaking to her about the character of the son, the man that she's going to marry. And we're going to read about that. It's a symbolic of the Holy Spirit and how he woos us to Jesus, tells us wonderful things about Christ. It's in the journey that the Holy Spirit is a witness to the truths of the Son. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit won't speak of himself when he comes. He will take the things of mine and reveal them to you. The Holy Spirit's job is to always woo us to Christ, point us to Christ. He's actively doing that right now in this room. Right now as you watch online, he's actively trying to draw you to a deeper place with Christ. If you've never come to know him, he's trying to show you that. If you are a Christian, he's trying to woo you toward a depth of relationship. That's what this servant was doing for this girl, speaking to the goodness of the Son, and that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's remarkable when you really get down to the depths of this. So here then they get on in 61. Rebecca and her maids arose. They rode on the camels and followed the man. Again, a whole month. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now, fast forward, okay? They've gone a whole month when we get to 62. And here's Isaac. He came from the way of Beer Lahoi Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked. And there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Modesty, okay? Humility, girls. Modesty and humility are still a characteristic of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It did not hinder Isaac when he come up to meet her, the fact that she was modest. In fact, it probably drew him to her modesty. Okay? Don't miss that, girls. In our world today, it can be really challenging to find that place where you can be honorable to the Lord in the way you dress. Okay? Where'd I stop? I kind of didn't mean to stop there, and I did anyway. Oh, 66. And then the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, for Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So Isaac is out in the field meditating, which simply means, don't think of, he's just simply thinking and praying to the Lord while he's out there. You know, it's so important for us who are single in this room to be patient as you wait. Yes, it's hard. There are people who think that the worst thing ever is to be single and waiting, but they're wrong. There's something worse, and that's marrying the wrong person. So don't be impatient. And pick your own spouse. You'll regret that. Wait on the Lord. Instead, be like Isaac here. Spend your time meditating, thinking and praying. Spend your time serving God. Just get involved in serving and allow God to bring your spouse to you. Now, the one interesting thing as we read the end of this, it's the first time we've seen Isaac since chapter 22 when he was on the Mount Moriah being sacrificed. Now we see him coming to meet his bride. It's a picture of Jesus. Because after the resurrection, Jesus went up into heaven, and the earth won't see him again until the rapture of the church when he returns to receive his bride. There's a strong correlation there between Isaac and Jesus. Okay? A couple points I'd like to make as we close. One, just as Rebekah followed the leading of the servant and made the choice to become the bride of Christ, so too all of us have the choice to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and become the bride of Christ. And just like Rebekah, it's your decision. No one will force it upon you. So the question is, are you willing to go? God the Father has sent his Son to die on the cross to take the penalty for your sins. And the Holy Spirit will bear witness of the truth in your heart, and he'll always point you to the Son, always call you to the Son. And just here as we ended, when we saw Isaac coming for his bride in the field, so too one day Jesus is coming for his bride, the church. So the question for us is, right now in this place, are we ready for the bridegroom to come? Because he could come today. Are you ready? So that's one. The second thing, as I think about this story, I'm reminded of a verse in Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And the Bible says that we're not just to do the things we have to do, but we're to do it with all our might. Another way to think about it is we should do whatever we do with all of our hearts. I call it an and then some attitude. Rebekah showed that attitude when she not only got water for the servant, but she watered all the camels. So the lesson for us through this, are we only going to do what's requested of us or what's required of us? Or are we going to do that and then some? Maybe your job requires you to be at work tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Are you going to drag in there barely on time and then sleepwalk through the first couple of hours of work? Or are you going to have an and then some attitude? As I'm going to be alert and ready to go when I show up on the job site tomorrow. Maybe we could look for opportunities this week in how we can serve our spouse. Guys, try to hit the clothes hamper with your dirty socks. That's a good start, you know? Or maybe the parents are asking you, kids, you know what? There's chores around the house, and you need to clean your room this week. Well, maybe we could model scripture here. But not only doing what's required of us and moping and complaining about it the whole time, but looking for an opportunity this week. How can I serve my parents? By helping maybe with dinner, cleaning up afterwards, just having an attitude. You know, see your mom in the laundry room. You could help out there. You can at least go pick up your clothes and fold them and put them away. She doesn't have to do that for you. So there's a way that we can do this and then some that Rebekah did here. How about your neighborhood? You know of a single mom that lives near you? Or a widow? You see their yard needs mowed? Or in the wintertime, their driveway needs plowed? I think this week we have a great opportunity to be an and then some person. This week, Lord, by your leading of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to be that kind of person. And Lord, I'm going to commit myself. I'm just going to listen to worship music this week. I'm going to be committed to honoring you as I go to work. I'm going to turn off Q95 and Bob and Tom, and I'm just going to listen to you this week, Lord. I'm going to have that attitude. I'm not just going to settle with going to church this week, Lord, or going to Bible study. No, I'm going to be an active listener. In fact, I'm going to take a pen and a paper, and I'm going to be a note taker while I'm there, because I want to be reminded of the things you said to me while I'm at study. But golly, I'm even going to read the section ahead of time. I know where Toby's going to be next week. I'm just going to read it ahead of time a few times. And that way I'm prepared, Lord, for what you might say to me through him when I get back here next Sunday. See, that's an and then some attitude. It's not just coming to church. It's coming to church with an attitude of, how can I serve each other? How can I bless somebody in this room? You do it because it's an attitude. And when you have that kind of attitude, wonderful things happen in your family. Wonderful things happen at work. Wonderful things happen in your neighborhood or your camels also. Okay, here, let's pray. Lord, thanks for this section. Thanks for the example of Rebecca. What a servant, Lord. Lord, there's so many things that we acknowledge there's so many things we don't know about people, Lord. We tend to treat people by the way they dress, by the way they talk. These camels, they were dirty that day, Lord. They were smelly. And she had no idea when she agreed to water these camels of what was in front of her. But she did it because she had an attitude in her heart that was put there by you. God, please help us this week to not only give water to people, but be willing to water the camels also. Lord, I want to do what you asked me to do, and then some. Lord, and I thank you for the symbolism of this chapter, that you, Father, have sent your Holy Spirit into this world in order to draw people to Jesus. May each one of us in this room, watching online, Lord, would we be like Rebecca and say, I will go. And then follow you, Lord, with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So 25 next week, chapter 25.